See, the kingdom of God doesn't have to do with what I eat or don't eat. It doesn't have to do with the physical. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, joy, and peace. That characterizes the kingdom of God.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Job, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. Some of you have told me that, and I know that. And I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this has been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence and a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours, and I believe that my eyes will see that. I've seen so much happening already. One of the things that God is doing is bringing together men and women that have a vision for church planting in the city of Chicago. I just came together with a group of men recently that are believing God to see literally hundreds of churches, 400 churches planted in the next few years throughout the city of Chicago and surrounding neighborhoods. These church planters will be from different groups and different denominations, but Christian people bringing the gospel witness to neighborhoods. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways. Let's get ready for today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. This is the final message of Pastor Mark's series called Out of Control. It's the second half of his message called Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances. Let's get right into the text. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. Here's Pastor Mark with the second half of his message entitled Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances.
Everything that God has created is good, so enjoy it. Everything that God has made is to be received with thanksgiving, so enjoy it. However, and this is what they were dealing with, of course. I told you before that in those days, most of the meat that was sacrificed was then sold in the marketplace, the equivalent to our Jewel or Costco or Dominic or Aldi's or whatever, wherever you shop. And people would go to the marketplace and they would buy meat that had been sacrificed to the goddess of fertility or the goddess of prosperity or this god or that god, and you had your choice of meat, whatever you wanted. So some believers felt like, hey, we can eat whatever meat because there are no idols and our conscience is clear. Others felt like if I eat meat that was sacrificed to an idol, I may be participating in idol worship, so therefore I should not eat meat at all. Paul is now trying to clarify this question, and he says, if you go to the marketplace and you buy a piece of meat, and you don't know anything about its background, don't ask. Because as long as you don't know, it doesn't violate your conscience. But if you go to buy a piece of meat and the guy behind the counter with this greasy white robe and says to you, "Ah, this is good meat. This was offered to the goddess of fertility. You eat this meat, you'll have four more strapping boys." Then he says, "Then say, sorry, I won't eat it." Hear me well. For someone, in certain occasions, it's okay to eat the meat, and in other occasions, it's not right to eat the meat, depending on what you know about the meat. Because the big question is, does it violate someone's conscience? Is it wrong to eat the meat? No, it's not wrong to eat the meat. But if you eat that meat and the person that offered you the meat knows that it's been sacrificed to an idol, he may think that you are participating in idolatry, so you violate his conscience, and in that case, it's better not to eat the meat at all. Let me give you more of a Chicago illustration, okay? Let's just say that I'm in the office one day, and some guy drops by the office and knocks on the door, and I come out, and he says, "Who's the pastor here?" And I say, I am. And he says, "Listen, I want to drop off a $10,000 check. And I say, "Oh, okay. I mean, we got a lot of projects we could use for this $10,000 check. And if he just gives it to me and I receive it and put it into one of our projects, I'm fine. But let's say that guy comes and drops off, it says, "Who's the pastor? I want to give you a $10,000 check." And I say, "Okay, great." But he says, "Yeah, it's been a great year in my business. I feel a little guilty because I'm a drug dealer and I'm a little concerned about, you know, drugs happening to some kids. But here, I wanted to give you a little bit of a percentage of what I've made." Oh, now we got a little problem. I would be tempted to take it, but I'd have to say, you know, having known what you've told me, if I didn't know anything, I would have a clear conscience to take it. But now that you've told me that this is drug money, I wish you wouldn't have told me. Send an anonymous through the mail and don't say anything. No, I wouldn't tell them that. No, just... But now that I know where it's come from, it violates my conscience and his conscience. And as I accept it, his conscience may be saying, "Okay, well, it's okay to be corrupt and accept things that lack integrity." And now I have a problem with it because now my conscience is violated and his conscience is violated. So I have to say no to it. If I didn't know, it'd be okay. But now that I know, it's not okay. You see, part of what we make our decisions upon is based on what we know or what we don't know and whether it violates our conscience or someone else's conscience around us. Are you tracking with me? That's called discernment and maturity. That's called making the right decisions over issues that are gray, and sometimes it's right, and sometimes it's wrong, and the same thing can be right sometimes and wrong another times, depending on how much I know about it. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. He says, the other man's conscience... For why should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience? You're not saying no because your conscience is violated. You're saying no because it violates his conscience. And there's certain things that we do that violate someone else's conscience and create a stumbling block to other people. And because our life is not about us, our life is about God. Although we have the right to do it, although we have the freedom to do it, we choose not to do it because it could cause someone else to stumble. That's called maturity. Immaturity is, I can do it. No one says I can't do it. No one's going to control my life. I can do whatever I want to do. That's immaturity. That's making it sound like your life belongs to you. Listen, when you gave your life over to Jesus Christ, you abdicated the rights of your life, and you say, my life now belongs to you. I don't live and do whatever I want to do. I live and do what you want me to do, and your ways are higher than my ways. That's in essence what you're saying. That's Christianity. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, so if I take part in this meal with thanksgiving, is why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? Hey, thank God for it, but do not violate someone else's conscience while you're doing this. Third principle I'm going to give you. And by the way, here's what the Word of God says, and jot this verse down. Romans chapter 14, verses 17 through 18 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." See, the kingdom of God doesn't have to do with what I eat or don't eat. It doesn't have to do with the physical. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, joy, and peace. That characterizes the kingdom of God. Sometimes we get stuck on the physical things without realizing that really what make up the kingdom are the spiritual things. The third principle that the Apostle Paul gives is this: spiritual freedom drives me to live for a purpose that's higher than I, the glory of God. Verse 31, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew or Greek or the church. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." You see, if we're not careful, we can allow our freedom to lead us to carnality, or our freedom to lead us to licentiousness. And the challenge here is to try to keep freedom but holiness at the same time. I remember years ago, I was a college student. I was down by the lake, and I was walking down by the lake, and I ran into a guy that was out there smoking. He wasn't smoking his Marlboros. He was smoking marijuana. And he's out there in the lake smoking. We got into this conversation, and I was almost getting high just talking to him because I was around all that smoke, and it was like, okay. And he was trying to explain to me that he believed himself to be a Christian, but he was trying to explain why he believed that marijuana was okay. And so his line of argument was something like, well, God is the creator of it. And since God is the creator of it, we are to make use of whatever God has created it. If God didn't want us to have it, he wouldn't have put it on earth. So therefore, if God created it, it must be good for us to use. And he was trying to explain that whiskey was not as good as marijuana. So he said something like, you know, God made weed, man made booze, what do you choose? I remember that was his line he was telling me. That was, sorry, his philosophy of why weed was okay to be smoking. And so he had concocted this idea that he was free to do this because he was a liberated person. He was free, and because God had made it, if God didn't want him to use it, he wouldn't have made it.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances, which is from our series called Out of Control. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. Our message is called Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances.
And I thought, well, you know, he's got a bit of an argument there. But I said, you know, God made cliffs too. It doesn't mean we jump off every cliff just because he made it. God made poisonous mushrooms. It doesn't mean we eat it because he made it, right? I mean, God's made a lot of things that just because he made it, we can always abuse it. But here's the example of someone that was using his liberty as an occasion to carnality. He was basically saying, I'm free, so therefore I can pretty much do whatever I want to do because I'm free. There's no regulation. There's no rules. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. I've never seen the verse, he told me. But, you know, he was using his freedom as an occasion to the flesh. reminded me of another guy one time that started coming. He visited the church one time, and he came up to me afterwards. He says, "I'm just kind of visiting here." He says, "But, you know, I lead a Bible study every week." I said, "Really?" "Yeah, me and a couple of people get together." He says, "It's a little bit unorthodox." I said, "Oh, tell me about it." He says, "Well, you know what I've discovered?" He says, "I get a lot more insight. My mind engages more in the Bible once I've smoked a little bit of weed." And he says, I just feel like, you know, I'm more perceptive." And so, in essence, he gets together in a Bible study. They all kind of smoke and get a little high, and then they jump into their Bible study. And he felt like he got more insights out. I'm like, "Hold on. Whoa. Hold on a second here." You see, that is using your liberty as an occasion to carnality. You are using your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. And many of us say, "I'm free, and since we're free, I can cross these lines." And the problem is that if you're free and you start crossing too many lines, you find yourself entrapped in carnality and going down this road that can be very dangerous for your life. So the question is, how do we keep our freedom and yet our holiness and integrity with God? And I, God forbid that we ever become a legalistic church here. God forbid that. That's why you never see us giving out a manual of a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. Have you ever seen that? If you did, it didn't come from us. We don't give you 100 things thou shalt not do if you become a part of this church. That's not the way we function. Because I think it verges on legalism. What I want to teach you is values and principles that you start applying to your own life. And with maturity, you apply those to your own life. Now, it's dangerous because if we don't give you a list of do's and don'ts, then you can do it and say, "Well, you know, no one ever told us not to do it." But that's not where I want to go with it. I want to teach you values and principles that you apply to your Christian life and that you apply to every area of your life, and you use some maturity and discernment as you apply it to your life. Are you tracking with me? It's huge. So spiritual freedom flows spiritual freedom drives me to live for a purpose that's higher than I. Look at what it says in verse 31. He says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." What does this verse mean? What this verse in essence means is that your life, if you become a Christian. And I'm not talking about just a traditional Christian, because there's a lot of people that when you go to the hospital, you check off the box under what religion do you belong to. You check off the box of Christianity, but you're not really a Christian. That's your tradition. That's your background. But how many of you know you can check off the box of Christianity without being an authentic follower of Jesus Christ? To you, it means that's where you go on Easter, and that's where you go on Christmas, and that's where you get married in, and that's where you get buried in. And if you had to have a chaplain, he'd have to be of the Christian orientation, but it doesn't mean much beyond that. But you see, if you are going to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot become a follower of Jesus Christ without saying, "My life belongs to God. I submit my life to the Lordship of Jesus. My life is no longer the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe, and my life rotates around God, but He is at the center. I am not." You cannot become a follower of Jesus Christ without, first of all, making God the center of your life. If you're a cultural Christian, you can keep yourself at the center. Add Christianity and religious services to the side, but you're not what Jesus calls an authentic follower of His. You're just a cultural Christian. A cultural Christian is a religious person, but it's not a born-again, spirit-filled, blood-washed person that knows the authenticity of walking in Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. And the Apostle Paul says, "So whatever you do, if you eat, you eat unto God. If you drink, you drink unto God. If you work, you work unto God. If you drive unto God. If you raise kids, you raise kids unto God. If you're married unto God. If you date unto God. Whatever you do, you offer it to God, and you're giving glory to God what you do. And if what you do doesn't give glory to God, then listen, don't do it." if what you're doing is not giving glory to God, then you probably shouldn't do it. You say, I have this joke. It's really, really funny. Let me tell you. Well, whoa, hold on. Before you tell that joke, you think this joke kind of gives glory to God? Well, I don't know about that. Well, maybe you should think about telling it. Because if it's off-colored, if it's racist, if it's prejudice, then, you know, probably it's not giving glory to God. So if you can't give it with a clear conscience giving glory to God, you probably shouldn't do it. Listen, hear me well. Everything you do in life that you do with a clear conscience and you do unto God is holy and sacred. Everything. Some people think that prayer is the only holy thing they do in life. Listen, your eating can be holy as well because you're eating and you're saying, thank you, God. I have the habit of praying before I eat, of giving thanks before I eat. Not because I have to, not because I think if I don't, it's going to be poison, I'm going to drop dead. I don't pray because I think, well, if I sanctify it, maybe all this greasy stuff is going to have less calories or not clog up my arteries, so I better bless it and thank God for it. No, I do it because I like the practice of at least three times a day pausing and thanking God that he's the provider of all things. I think it's a great practice. And that's why I do it. Because I give thanks for I give thanks for what he's providing. I'm eating under the glory of God. Now I know some of you want to do it, but at work you feel a little awkward. Like, I don't know, they're gonna think I have a headache. So some of you do the headache thing. People say, are you okay? And you're just praying. Some of you have learned to drop the napkin thing, thank you Jesus for my food. Amen. And I'm just saying, hey, get out of the closet, just pray. Come out of the closet. Come on. Just pray. What are you doing? I'm thanking God for my food. Why? Because I like to be thankful to God. It's okay. It's okay. Come out of the closet as a Christian. How about it? Don't be ashamed that you pray. Some of you need to say, just excuse me a moment. Bow your head. You don't have to, like, get on your knees in the cafeteria and raise your hand. Oh, God, thank you for this food. No, I'm not saying be an exhibitionist. I'm just saying, hey, don't be ashamed to pray. Bow your head. Say, excuse me a second. What were you doing? Oh, I was just giving thanks to God. I like to do that. Why? Because eating is as sacred as praying, because you're eating unto the Lord. And if you're working, your work is an act of worship unto God, because if you have the right attitude towards work, you're offering it unto God. And listen, if you have the right attitude towards work, your boss is not who you work for if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you work for God, and your boss happens to be the tool that God uses to employ you. Some of you have made your boss a god. God is the one you work for. Your boss is the tool he uses to employ you. But ultimately, God is your provider. You see, if you work for your boss, here's what happens. When he's around, you're working hard, doing all this. Boss leaves, everybody, hey, pull out the deck of cards. Come on, you know. The boss is coming. Everybody gets back to work, or you're working on, you're at your computer working. The boss is out. Suddenly you're on Facebook and chat and IM and, you know, and oh, the boss is around. See, if you're working for your boss, then you look to please your boss when they're around. If you're working for God, hello, he's always around. If you're working for God, you work with integrity. If you're working with God, for God, you work with the right attitude. If you're working for God, then even if people don't recognize what you're doing, guess what? God knows what you're doing. He sees what you're doing. Even if there's office politics, guess what? God is above and beyond office politics. God is there. Your attitude keeps good. Listen, if you're working for your boss, the moment your boss doesn't acknowledge you, the moment your boss starts playing inner office politics, then suddenly your attitude goes bad, and now you're the angry, mean, grouchy worker. Why? Well, he doesn't acknowledge me. I should have gotten that. He doesn't realize I did all the work. He got all the credit. Man, I forget this job. I'm just going to put minimal into it. And some of you have adopted that attitude. Well, that's how you're going to treat me. Watch how I treat you. If you're working for God, listen, you do a good job whether your boss acknowledges it or not, because ultimately, you're offering this to God. You say, God, I do this for your glory. You can give me another job. You can transfer me. But right now, I work for you, Lord. Hallelujah. I work for you.
This concludes our message called Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances, and also our series, Out of Control. We hope that this series has been a blessing to you. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.